Well, welcome back to another podcast here at Sun City Shadow Hills. My name is Bob Furring, and I have always been curious about the fire station that is located right there on Avenue 40. And there's both fire, and I'm particularly interested in the paramedics. Paramedic is something that hardly anybody will have any contact with until they really need them. And so here's an opportunity to speak to one of them and find out more about what is going on at his end. My guest today is Art Villarreal, who is a firefighter paramedic who works right at the fire station there at Avenue 40. Art, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start here. I live alone. I feel like I'm having a heart attack. I call 911. What happens then?
What happens is it goes through a call center through dispatch, and depending on the area that you call, we'll start bringing up the dispatch information on what station is closest to your address. So if you were to call from Sun City, Shadow Hills area, it would come up with Station 80, and that would pop up Engine 80, Medic 80, which are the two pieces of apparatuses that cover this area. And while they're getting your information of what's going on, they start dispatching us. They actually tone us out, and they let us know your address, your house address, and they try to give us a good idea of what you might be calling as or for. So if you were to let them know, my chest is hurting, I need paramedics, when we get the tone out, it will let us know your address, and most likely it's going to be a chief complaint of a chest pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have a good idea of what we're going to. Not always accurate, but sometimes it just gives us a little bit of a heads up.
I see. And does this technology work from the GPS on our phone?
Yes, it does. And then most of the times with the cells, they have the towers that pick up coordinates of where you should be at. And it's pretty accurate, actually.
I see. That's great. And, you know, as an estimate, how long would it take you, how long would it take from the time the call went out until you were at the person's front door?
It could take anywhere if we are in quarters. It could take anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes. They strategically place our stations, and the county does a pretty good job, and also the city, of strategically placing the stations within a 3 to 5 minute window time that we could be pretty much anywhere in the city.
That's very fast. That's great. Here's another situation that has happened to two men. They have wake up in the middle of the night, and they're unable to go to the bathroom. Their prostate is swollen. And both of these men have driven to Eisenhower, and they found it to be one of the most excruciating experiences of their life. Could they have just gone straight to your station?
They can. We always advise that you call us because there could be other symptoms. We obviously, if anybody's having any sort of discomfort, we would rather go to you than you to us because we don't know what could be causing that.
Uh-huh.
We always advise that if you're having an issue, if you have any really questions, especially if you believe you're having an emergency, go ahead and just call 911 and we will come to you. Everyone's always welcome to the station anytime. That's what we're here 24/7. But especially if you're having any type of symptoms, we strongly encourage you to just call us at 911.
Yeah.
And we would go out there and assess the situation.
Yeah, well, if you can be there in 5 minutes, that's pretty good time.
And usually we're actually right behind, especially the community right behind us. We could be there even faster.
Yeah. I know you're pretty busy. How many calls do you go out on a day on average?
The station up here at Station 80, we could go anywhere from 3 calls a day. Actually, yesterday we just had a pretty busy day where we ran 12 calls throughout the day.
That's pretty busy. And what's your service area?
We service pretty much anywhere above the 10 freeway. We cover, our ambulance covers the majority of the of north of the 10. We cut off about Terra Lago. So right by that station, the ambulance services goes all the way over there. As far as the engine here, the cutoff point on the east border is going to be Jackson. But for some odd reason, if that engine is already on committed to another incident or another call, we could cover that area as well from here.
I see.
And then we actually go into Del Webb a good amount of time, just because Del Webb is also just like, you know, all the other areas, they have their times where they are actually pretty busy.
Okay. And how do you decide which hospital to take somebody to?
There's a number of factors. We always do consider where the patient does want to go. With that being said, we also have to consider other factors. If it's what we consider a life-threatening emergency, which would be either where you're choking, you're not breathing, you don't have a pulse, we always go to the closest facility with a patient like that. We try to educate the public on the way we choose our hospitals. If a patient just feels more comfortable going to, let's say, Eisenhower as opposed to JFK, and everything is stable, we do have to advise the patient of that we're going to be bypassing a closer facility. There's a lot of myths and a lot of kind of misinformation out in the community that whether you go to one hospital or the other, you might be either seen faster. You can never predict how busy the either emergency is going to be. Even Desert Regional out here in the desert, we're very fortunate to have three highly qualified hospitals out here. So pretty much we have all three to pick from. With our services, we always try to express of going to the closest facility for to get advanced care. Our paramedics are highly trained, highly knowledgeable, but we do have limits, and that's limits that we don't have, that maybe a doctor, x-rays, better pain medication. We always let the patient know that they're able to receive those amenities quicker than going to, per se, or as opposed to going to Eisenhower. We always advise that to get stabilized at the closest emergency room, and at that point, if you're told to be admitted somewhere, at that point, you can actually be transferred through your insurance to another hospital. There's actually a lot of pediatric patients we have out here that actually are seen at Loma Linda. Mm-hmm. And for us to leave one of our ambulances and have them go all the way to Loma Linda out of the county, that would leave our whole area open for, you know, a true emergency, which everybody that's having an emergency, it's a true emergency because it's happening to you. We always express that we understand that. But there are a lot of factors, is what's going on, life threats, life emergencies. And we also educate the public. We actually have a lot of patients that do have falls. And actually, JFK is the orthopedic center for the desert region. So we have to let our patients know that. Even though your doctor might be at Eisenhower, we do let our patients know that we don't transport to doctor's offices. We go to the emergency room. So no matter what doctor you have, you're going to be seen by an emergency room physician. It's not going to be Eisenhower's physician. It's not going to be JFK's physician. It's going to be an emergency room physician that you're going to be seen by. And we always let our patients know that, especially the ones that are in pain and they have family members that absolutely want them to go to you know, Eisenhower's a little further out of our reach, just a little bit. But we do talk to the patient, because the patient's person that's actually experiencing the pain, they're the ones that are going to be able to tell if they can handle, you know, a 5, 8, 10-minute ride longer to Eisenhower, where we could get them a little faster to JFK, get that pain managed, find out what's going on, and then if at that point they want to be admitted, then they could be transferred over to emergency actually admitted to the room at Eisenhower straight from JFK's ER.
I see. Well, that's very useful to know. So how many people are on call, are on duty at the station at any one time?
So we have four different stations covering this great city. We all have different staffing levels. We have our station here at 80. We have five people on duty. At every given time, you have at least three paramedics here, one on the engine and two on the ambulance. So there's two people on the ambulance, and there's three people on the engines. And then at Station 87, which is Terra Lago, we also have three people there. Our biggest station is the one in, it's our headquarters off of Jackson and Dr. Carrion. They actually have nine people there because they have the five that they usually have with the engine and the ambulance, but they also have a four personnel truck company, and that holds four people. And then we also have another station in West Indio off of Madison by the Stater Brothers down by Madison and 111, and they also have five people.
Wow. Well, that's really good to know. I didn't realize that there were so many trained people in the area, but
yes.
That's very good to know. Well, please tell me about the history of the fire station there.
This station was actually opened, I believe, in 2007. I've been here. I've been very fortunate and very blessed to be here for about 4 years now. Right before I got here, I was told a story by one of the firefighters that they were actually at one point considering getting the engine out of here and kind of downstaffing because of financial times. But the especially the community in Sun City was very adamant about not having that happen because they wanted ALS services to their community. So they actually went to the city, and I believe they fought it, and they actually kept this engine open and available to the community. So we always encourage that the community come over at any point if they have any questions about anything that could be going on, whether it be related to a medical emergency or something that might be going. We've had multiple calls about some carbon monoxide alarms. We usually don't deal with them, but there might be some things we can maybe try to fix, little quick troubleshooting. We are no way intended professionals when it comes to carbon monoxide alarms, but it's something we can also help with. But anytime they have any questions, whether they want to bring their grandkids to come down and or their family to come down and see the engine and the medic unit, we always encourage that. We're here to serve the community. We're very thankful that they went to the city and let them know how important we were to them. So it's time for us to kind of turn back and show them how important they are to us. So at any point, if they have any questions, they can look us up in the city guide. I believe that our phone numbers are always available. You could also go online, go on your phones. Everybody has phones that have access to internet. Give us a call. Any questions that might arise, or if they just want to come down and say hi and bring their family for a visit, we are always available for the community.
That's great. And please tell us the phone number.
It's area code 760-347-1030.
Okay, that's great. Well, Art, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to our residents. I think they are going to find this comforting and very useful. I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
As always, if you have questions or comments, please let me know. And so until next time, thank you for listening to our latest podcast.